This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on the Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, October 8th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today, as always, even more so now. Baseball playoffs over the weekend, full slate of NFL games, of course, yesterday. We'll start with the baseball as it's the playoffs, and we'll get back to the Friday wacky infield fly rule play in a minute. But for the games of yesterday, and you know how weird this year, where the higher seed is on the road the first two games. Apparently that's going to be corrected for next year. Not sure why they did it this year. But the Athletics in Detroit to play the higher-seeded Tigers, but the Tigers managed to win both games over the weekend yesterday. Tigers get two in the seventh, one in the eighth, one in the ninth to come back from a 2-1 deficit and beat the Athletics. Tigers 5, Athletics 4. That gives them, of course, a commanding lead in the best-of-five series because now they go home. They're the higher seed. Now they go home for the next three games. Interesting game. Coco Crisp, who has been really good for the Athletics, you maybe saw him turn on a 95-mile-per-hour Justin Verlander fastball in game one and hit it out of the park. Unbelievable. I don't know how he could do that. Two strikes. Verlander throws a 95-mile-per-hour fastball up, and he hits it out. But that was the only run Verlander gave up in game one. But yesterday, Crisp came in on a line drive hit by Cabrera with two guys on, and it kind of handcuffed him. He tried to make like a basket catch. I don't know, maybe he, you know, couldn't decide to catch it lower in his body or higher, you know, turning his glove around. He tries to make a basket catch. The ball bounces out. He swipes at it with his glove and almost catches it again. It hits the ground, and as a result of that, and they gave him an EA correctly, as a result of that, Detroit scored two runs in the seventh inning to take a 3-2 lead. But the A's come back and retake the lead. Josh Reddick, who was so bad down the stretch that he was even benched for a while and had been horrible, I think through his first six at-bats, he had like struck out every time. But yesterday he hits a big home run to give Oakland the lead 4-3. But then on a wild pitch, Detroit ties up the game. And then in the bottom of the ninth, Don Kelly, who had scored the tying run the inning before, hits a sacrifice fly. Omar Infante tags up and scores. That's the winning run, game-winning, game-ending sack fly. Tigers 5, Athletics 4. Al Albuquerque got the win and infuriated the Athletics. If you saw the play, in the top of the ninth, he's pitching, runners on, ground ball back to him. He catches the ball and kisses it before he flips it to first for the final out. You know, kind of bush league, kind of stupid. Apparently the Athletics are upset about that. But he did get out of that jam and get the win. Albuquerque gets the win. Balfour, who's been good for the Athletics, takes the loss. Reddick with the only home run of the game. Tigers 5, Athletics 4. Tigers now up 2-0. Fister, 7 innings pitched, 6 hits, 2 runs, both earned for the Tigers, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts. Malone, 6 innings pitched, 5 hits, 1 run earned, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. The game was decided in the later innings, of course, so Balfour takes the loss. Albuquerque gets the win, both in relief. Again, Tigers commanding 2-0. They have Verlander at the back end if they need him. They probably won't. They go back to Detroit for 1, 2, or 3, depending on how the games come out. But when you do have this weird situation where the lower seed plays home the first two games, they better win them both. And that just didn't happen. The other American League game, game one last night, late, 2-hour and 26-minute rain delay. Yankees in Baltimore to play the Orioles. Again, the Yankees the higher seed because they won the division in the last week. The Orioles, the lowest seed, they won the wild card. Very well played, close pitched game, 2-2 after eight, and then Russell Martin steps up in the top of the ninth against the very good Baltimore closer, Jim Johnson. You don't know if he's one of these guys who doesn't pitch well in, you know, non-closing situations. He had 51 saves. But Russell Martin hits a home run in the top of the ninth, and they just pound Jim Johnson, the Yankees do, and wind up scoring five in the ninth to turn a 2-2 tight game into a 7-2 laugher. Now, Baltimore's been great all year in one-run games and extra-inning games. That's why they're in the playoffs. But the Yankees yesterday, they have Sabathia go 8 2/3. Sabathia back on his game after having those four starts in a row where he gave up the lead. But then he had four or five really good starts before the playoffs started, so whatever that problem was, he erased. The Martin home run, the biggest hit of the game. Martin only hit .211 for the season, but he was unbelievable in September, both average-wise and clutch-wise, and he did it again yesterday. That's the key hit. That provided the winning run. Yankees 7, Baltimore 2. Sabathia gets the win. Again, Sabathia was very good yesterday. 8 2/3, 8 hits, 2 runs, both earned, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. Robertson came in to get the final out on a strikeout. Hamill started, was pretty good, 5 2/3, 4 hits, 2 runs, both earned. But again, Johnson coming in a 2-2 game in the ninth, only a third of an inning, 5 hits, 5 runs, 4 of them earned, including the home run, of course, to Russell. And that was the difference. The big talk in New York now is that crushed the Orioles. Has that crushed Johnson? I don't think so, because it wasn't a save situation. And again, I'm not saying Johnson is one of these guys who can't pitch when it's a non-save situation, but some guys can't, and even say they can't. Yankees 7, Orioles 2, Yankees, who will have the home field for the last three games, take the lead, 1-0, game 2 tonight. We'll get to the schedule later. But the Yankees, this is a big win for them. Again, the Orioles, a very good team, played the Yankees even, nine wins aside during the 18-game regular season. Yankees 7, Orioles 2, game 2 tonight. Jeter 2-for-4, 2 runs scored. Ichiro 2-for-5, a run scored and 2 RBIs. Teixeira 2-for-4 with an RBI. Swisher, you know, Swisher and Teixeira, the guys who get slaughtered in New York for poor postseason performance. Yesterday, Swisher 1-for-2 with an RBI, 2 walks. So those guys did pretty well. For the Orioles, Davis and Ford both with 2 hits. Really, that was it. No home runs for the Orioles. Again, Russell Martin with the only home run of the game. Yankees jump out to a 1-0 lead. Also yesterday, National League, same deal for Cincinnati and the Giants. Cincinnati the higher seed. Cincinnati on the road. Cincinnati loses Johnny Cueto in the first inning of Game 1 and wins. Yesterday, they hammer the Giants. Cincinnati 9, Giants nothing. So again, Cincinnati now has a commanding 2-0 lead because they go back home for 3 more. And you know, it was the Bronson Arroyo show, frankly, yesterday. Arroyo was just unbelievable. 7 innings pitched, 1 hit, no runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. A fantastic performance by him. Bumgarner not so good. Madison Bumgarner for the Giants. 4 1/3, 7 hits, 4 runs, all earned. Nobody was beating Cincinnati yesterday. Nobody was beating Arroyo. He was unbelievable. And he is an up-and-down guy. When he's good, he's very good. Reds 9. Giants nothing. Ryan Ludwig got him off to a good start with a home run. He had the only home run of the game. Ryan Hannigan with a 2 RBI single. And then Jay Bruce opens it up with a 2 RBI double. Cincinnati 9. Giants nothing. Brandon Phillips with 2 hits. Joey Votto 3-for-4 with 2 runs scored for Cincinnati. Ludwig 2-for-3 with that home run and 2 runs scored. And Hannigan, the catcher, 2-for-4. With 3 RBIs in the game. Cincinnati just dominating the Giants. Giants only getting 2 hits, one from Sandoval, one from Bolt, the first baseman. But clearly the Giants are overmatched here. Lincecum actually came in to relieve in this game, which shows you how far he's fallen this year. Did throw 2 innings, only gave up a hit, 2 strikeouts. But obviously he's been relegated to relief duty. And again, he had a terrible year, so you can understand it. Reds 9, Giants is nothing. Reds up 2-0. And again, now they go home to Cincinnati for 1, 2, or 3 games. You know, pretty much a foregone conclusion. These two series where the higher seeds win both games on the road. Now they go home for 1, 2, or 3 games. But it would be shocking if either the Tigers or the Reds did not advance at this stage. The other game, first game of the series yesterday, Nationals, the higher seed on the road in St. Louis to play the wild card winning Cardinals. Nationals 3, Cardinals 2. Nationals lead 1-0. Gio Gonzalez starts for the Nationals, 5 innings pitched, 1 hit, 2 runs, both earned, 7 walks, obviously his problem, 5 strikeouts. Adam Wainwright, 5 2/3 for the Cardinals, 6 hits, 1 run earned, 3 walks, 10 strikeouts. But St. Louis couldn't hold the lead. Sepchinski winds up blowing the save. Boggs takes the loss. Storing comes in to get the save for the Nationals. And again, this was an interesting game as well, because Washington was down despite the fact that Gio Gonzalez pitched unbelievable. John Jay with a sac fly gave St. Louis the lead 2-1, but then Tyler Moore comes in, gets a 2-run pinch hit single off of Mark Sepchinski to give the Nationals the lead 3-2, and then Drew Storen does come in for the save. Ian Desmond goes 3-for-4 for the Nationals. Bryce Harper in his first playoff appearance ever, 0-for-5 with 2 Ks. Desmond, the only guy who got more than one hit for the Nationals. For St. Louis, Fries was 2-for-4, but again, St. Louis only gets 3 hits, one by Beltran and the other 2 by Drew Storen. Nationals 3, Cardinals 2. Game 2 will be today in that series as well, and the Yankee series as well. That was it for the baseball games for yesterday. I do want to go back to that play on Friday in the wild card game between St. Louis and Atlanta. And boy, it's a fascinating play. You'll recall 2 guys on, 1 out, pop up into shallow left field. Cosmer, the shortstop for St. Louis, goes out. Holliday, the left fielder, comes in. Cosmer gets there. He waves off Holliday. He's under the ball about to catch it, and at the last second he bails, presumably thinking he heard Holliday or someone call that Holliday was going to catch it. The ball drops in. Everybody's safe. It looks like bases loaded, 1 out. Just as the ball was coming down, Sam Hulbrook, the left field umpire, raises his hand to call an infield fly, and then all hell breaks loose. Freddy Gonzalez, the Atlanta manager, comes out and argues. People start throwing things in from the crowd. But the umpires met and decided that was the correct call, and it was the correct call, and it's very hard for people to understand. I have an article up at sportstalknetwork.com that explains the rule. Again, in these situations, it's not your gut reaction. You have to go to the rule, and the rule specifically says if the infielder can get there with ordinary effort, and Cosma easily got there. Now, it took him a while to get there. What everybody forgets is the towering pop-up, that this was a very high pop-up, so an infielder had 30 feet to run out into the outfield and wave off an outfielder and get under the ball. Once you see a shortstop run out and wave off an outfielder and get under the ball, that's an easy play. Every shortstop in baseball, every major league shortstop would have made that play with ordinary effort. Not a big deal. Where it seems people were having trouble is that they read the rule and they think the rule where it says immediately must call it, they think that means off the bat it has to be immediately called. But if you read the 5 words before that, it says when it becomes apparent to the umpire. Once it becomes apparent, then he has to immediately call it. I think this umpire did a good job. He's getting slaughtered. Once it became apparent, it doesn't become apparent until the shortstop runs out 35, 40 feet, gets under the ball, waves off the outfielder, then it's apparent. As soon as that was apparent, the umpire raised his hand. So I think it was a good call. The national reaction has been it was a terrible call and Atlanta got robbed. I totally disagree with that. Again, I haven't heard an explanation from anyone, any expert, who can explain reading the rule why that was not an infield fly. Why the infield fly rule should not have been called. People say, oh, he has to call it immediately. Not true. People say, oh, it was a fly ball to the outfield. Irrelevant. Again, when you understand, the normal pop-up is a normal pop-up to the shortstop. It's not a big deal. He takes two steps back. He takes two steps forward. It's very obvious 98% of the time, 99% of the time. This time, it was not obvious. And because it wasn't obvious, all hell broke loose. So this guy is much maligned. I have people at WFAN.com where I have the article posted as well just saying, Steve Callis, you're an idiot. That's fine, but nobody has an explanation. And when you talk about the spirit of the rule, I'll just end with this. The spirit of the rule is to prevent a double play, and that couldn't have happened. It's 100% untrue. Picture this now. Cosma stays there, pounds his glove, catches the ball, and drops it intentionally. Well, the runners, who weren't halfway, as many said, but maybe they were 35 feet down the line and would eventually get to second and third anyway, those runners, once Cosmos is camping under it, they're sprinting back to second and first. When he drops the ball, they're 85, 88 feet away from the base they have to go to, and they're running the other way. So, yes, you could have had a double play on that play. And remember, the infield fly rule is to protect the runners, not to protect the defense. So that's all I'll say about that. I encourage you to go to sportstalknetwork.com and read the article. But again, nobody has shown reading the rule why that shouldn't have been called an infield fly, and I think it was a very good call. This is the Steve Callis Show. We'll get to the NFL after the break. We're at sportstalknetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on sportstalknetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. sportstalknetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring with high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to get right to the football now. We'll start up in Foxborough, where probably the game of the week was Peyton Manning going up to Foxborough against Tom Brady. Hasn't had a lot of luck, although he's had some recent luck, of course, all with the Colts. He missed all of last season. He has beaten Tom Brady four of the last six, but he's only 4-8 against Tom Brady lifetime. New England now with a rushing game. They're a different team this year offensively and defensively. Offensively, they just have a running game that they simply didn't have. Not that their running game was bad in the past, but now it's just unbelievable. I mean, they just got to Stephen Ridley is unbelievable, and they've rushed for over 200 yards their last two games. I mean, that has not been Patriot football for the longest time. Manning coming in, up and down so far. A big advantage to New England playing in New England. And eventually, you know, they kick it back and forth, punt it early on, and then eventually Brady just starts to, like last week in the second half against Buffalo, just drive them down the field, hits Wes Welker for a touchdown to go up 7-0. Shane Vereen, who you've never heard of, gets a running touchdown, another unsigned free agent that Bill Belichick seems to pick up. He runs it in to make it 17-7 at the half. Rob Ninkovich causes a fumble. Vince Wilfork recovers. They march down the field 24-7. They march down the field 31-7. I mean, they are just, the Patriots are a machine. I mean, Brady, 23 for 31 for 223 and one touchdown. No picks, of course. That's, you know, it doesn't scare you statistically, but it scares you because Ridley goes 28 rushes for 151 yards. Bolden, who went for over 100 last week, goes 14 for 54. Danny Woodhead goes 7 for 47. I mean, the Patriots have over 250 yards rushing. Last week they had two 100-yard rushes. Wes Welker, 13 receptions for 104 yards and a touchdown. Gronkowski, who's getting double and triple teamed, four receptions for 35. Lloyd, 3 for 34. They don't even have Hernandez back yet. I mean, the Patriots' offense is scarier than ever because if they have a rushing game like this, and they do, how are you going to stop them? Peyton Manning was very, very good. He's Peyton Manning, 31 for 44, 345, three TDs, no picks. According to Phil Simms, he's back, and he certainly looks it. You know, he hits this Demaryius Thomas, who is an excellent receiver but can't hold on to the ball. Demaryius Thomas, 9 receptions for 186 yards, but the first one that he caught early in the game, he's running. He wouldn't have scored, but he would have got close to the end zone, but he gets stripped by Sterling Moore, and New England recovers. And apparently, Thomas has fumbled three times in his last three games. You know, that's a big problem, no matter how good you are. But 9 receptions for 198 yards, Tammy 6 for 50. You know, Manning's Manning. He's back. But their defense can't stop the Patriots, that's for sure. They didn't have much of a rushing game. That front seven of New England is much better. McGahee, 14 rushes for 51 yards. But when Manning started to bring them back, they're down 31-7. You know, they say Manning has the best fourth quarter stats. And that may be true, but it's a little misleading. Denver's getting hammered in the fourth quarter of, I think, three of their five games. So when he scores two touchdowns against the Patriots, it goes from 31-7 to 31-21. Now, give him credit. He hits Eric Decker for a TD. He hits Stokley for a TD to make it 31-21. Ridley fumbles, And in true Belichick fashion, once Ridley fumbled, despite his great game this week and last week, he's taken out of the game. But then 31-21, Denver has the ball again, and they're driving. You know, to me, they're still going to come up short, even with another TD. It's 31-28. But if they score, they kick an onside kick. You never know what's going to happen. But this time, McGahee fumbles on the 14. The Pats recover it. Game over. New England 31, Denver 21. To me, the Patriots, despite that loss at Arizona, you know, everybody forgets, the Patriots could easily be undefeated. Everyone's going, oh, they're 1-2. Oh, they're losing to Buffalo. But they easily could be undefeated. Again, we talked about it last week. Gronkowski with that phantom holding call when Danny Woodhead scored what would have been the winning touchdown against Arizona with less than a minute to go. And then Gronkowski missed the field goal. And then the next week against the Ravens, I mean, that field goal that was allowed because it went over the goalpost and couldn't be reviewed, that field goal would not have been good. If it was lower and hit the post, or if the post was higher, it couldn't have been good. It might have missed totally, but if it hit the upright, it wouldn't have gone between the uprights. So that's irrelevant. The point is, New England with this new running and passing attack, where Brady's numbers come down a bit, but he's much more efficient. I don't know how anyone's going to stop them. New England 31, Denver 21. Again, Peyton Manning has an unbelievable game, but it doesn't really matter. You know, the Patriots are now going to easily win. And look, if they had gone to 1-3 last week, they would have easily won the East anyway. The Jets are a mess. Buffalo's a mess. Miami's okay. I mean, Tannehill's okay, but, you know, they're still playing with a rookie quarterback. So Patriots 31, Broncos 21. A big win for the Patriots. I still think the Broncos can win their division, but the Patriots are off to the races. Nobody in the AFC East certainly is going to be able to deal with them. The other more emotional game, and a fantastic win for the Colts, who most people really didn't think, including me, and still don't, really didn't think they were going anywhere. I don't think they're making the playoffs. But yesterday, with Chuck Pagano in the hospital with leukemia, with Bruce Arians, his right-hand man, taking over as head coach reluctantly, Indiana beats Green Bay. Indiana 28, Green Bay 27. Now, this was a monster win on a number of levels. You know, maybe Andrew Luck's coming out party in terms of leading his team against the top team. Down 21-3 at the half, Green Bay 21, Indy 3 at the half. And obviously all looked lost. But Andrew Luck did something with Reggie Wayne that even Peyton Manning couldn't do. 13 catches, 212 yards. 212 yards for Reggie Wayne and a touchdown. He never broke the 200 mark with Peyton Manning. So it was a fascinating game, 21-3. Luck hits Dwayne Allen to make it 21-10. Luck runs in a TD after a field goal to make it 21-19. They miss the two-point conversion, but then old reliable Vinatieri kicks the field goal 22-21, and then late in the game, Rodgers drives him down the field, and with about 3 minutes left, Alex Green runs it in from 41 yards out to give them the lead, give Green Bay the lead, 27-22. And then the ball comes back, and these are the situations. What is Andrew Luck going to do? 3rd and 7, he runs for a first down, and eventually hits Wayne with a three-yard TD pass where Wayne just gets the ball across the plane. 28-27 Indianapolis. They go for two. They don't make it. So they're up by one. Green Bay goes the other way. They set up Mason Crosby for a 51-yard field goal that he misses terribly. Again, 51 yards. I don't know that you view that to be automatic, even in today's much better kicking NFL. Indianapolis 28, Green Bay 27, very emotional in the locker room. Irsay takes the game ball, and he's going to take it to the hospital and give it to Chuck Pagano, who's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks fighting leukemia, treatable leukemia, but leukemia. Indy 28, Green Bay 27, a monster win for Indianapolis, a terrible win for Green Bay. I'm sorry, very late in the game. In the Indianapolis got a field goal, 30-27 final. Got a safety. I apologize. Final score: Colts 30, Packers 27. Just a very interesting game, a very emotional game. And what can you say about Andrew Luck? All the hype was true. 31 for 55, 362 yards, two touchdowns, one pick. Rodgers, 21 for 33, 243, three touchdowns, one pick. Unfortunately, Rodgers, their leading rusher, with 57 yards. Green had 55, including that 41-yard touchdown run. Brown, 17 for 84 for the Colts. Again, Wayne with 13 receptions for 212 yards and a TD. Cobb, the leading receiver for Green Bay, four receptions for 82 yards and a touchdown. Jones did have two TD catches as well. But not enough, as the Colts beat the Packers. Amazing game, amazing emotion. And again, arguably, Andrew Luck's coming out party. Another interesting game, talking about coming out party, RG3 obviously already showing he can play in this league. Atlanta undefeated, goes to Washington. But RG3, like a lot of these young quarterbacks, they have to learn. I think the best way to say it is discretion is the better part of valor. He took a terrible hit. He could have slid. He could have run out of bounds. But he took a terrible hit and had to come out of the game. Now he's got a mild concussion, they're calling it, whatever that means, a mild concussion. I don't know what a mild concussion is. Does that mean he can come back and play next week? He has to pass all those tests. The problem is, you know, a guy like Vic is kind of starting to learn, but he just gets hammered every time they can hammer him. But more now when he's going to pass rather than when he's going to run. If these guys want to play in the league, especially if you're not a massive physical specimen, you got to get out of bounds. You got to slide. So RG3 gets hurt, comes out of the game. Kirk Cousins actually comes in and plays well, or fairly well. Tony Gonzalez gets an early touchdown catch, the 99th of his career. Gonzalez is unbelievable, the ageless one, to 13 receptions for 123 yards. Washington is winning 10-7. Julio Jones catches a touchdown pass from Matty Ryan to put them up 14-10. RG3 comes out of the game, but Kirk Cousins comes in and hits Santana Moss wide open, 77-yard touchdown, puts Washington up 17-14. Matty Ice drives him down for a field goal, 17-all, and then Michael Turner runs it in from 13 yards out, 24-17. Cousins throws two interceptions, one by Dante Robinson, one by Thomas Dekoe. That was the clincher, frankly. Atlanta 24, Washington 17. Ryan 34 for 52, 345, two TDs and one interception. RG3 was 10 for 15 with 91 yards, no picks, no TDs. Cousins came in 5 for 9 for 111 yards and a touchdown, but those two big picks late. Turner, 18 rushing attempts for 67 yards in that game-winning TD for Atlanta. Gonzalez, 13 for 123 in a touchdown. Julio Jones, 10 for 94 in a touchdown. The best Washington could do was Davis, 5 for 54. Again, they obviously were hurt by the loss of RG3. Combined, the quarterbacks threw for 202 yards. Not enough. You know, Washington's going to be in the hunt. This kid can clearly play in the league, but he's going to have to stay healthy. You know, maybe Kirk Cousins won some fans, but he threw two big picks at the end. Falcons remain undefeated, 5-0. Falcons 24, Redskins 17. And again, if you want to stay in the league, the way they're going to get guys like Vic and RG3 to not beat them is to frankly hurt them, to knock them out, to get them out of the game. I mean, if the future of football is these running QBs, I think you're going to have to be more of a brute like Cam Newton. Although Cam Newton's having major problems playing the quarterback position, we'll get to that later. But you can't take the physical punishment if you're not a big, strong guy. Now, Griffin is bigger and stronger than Vic, but he can't take those hits as well. He should have ran out of bounds there. He should have slid. Might have been a different game. Now, again, Cousins led him back to the lead, so give him credit, but he also threw two bad picks. We'll get to the rest of the football after this break. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring with high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Let's go right back to the NFL, the Battle of Pennsylvania, Eagles at the Steelers, both tough teams, obviously. I think so much of it rides on what Michael Vick actually does. But the Steelers come back late. Ben Roethlisberger, unbelievable. Steelers 16, Eagles 14 on a last-second 34-yard field goal by Sean Sweason. Again, this was, I think, you know, when you look at Vic's numbers, 20 for 30 for 175 yards and two TDs, only five rushes for 16 yards, but he fumbled twice. Once early in the game, right at the one-yard line, he looks like he's going in for a score. He fumbles at the one. It goes into the end zone. The Steelers recover, obviously, a touchback. That was obviously a big play in the game. Fumbled again later. Steelers get out to a 10-0 lead, although Troy Polamalu was hurt. And it looks like it could be a problem. Nothing this morning yet, but it was one of those non-contact injuries. Looks like a leg injury. Don't know what it is yet. He didn't crumble to the ground like a Revis, for example, or a Santonio Holmes, but he clearly is hurt, and that could be a problem. But then Philly comes back. LeSean McCoy, 15-yard TD catch, 13-7. And later in the game, Vic hits Brett Celek, the tight end, for a touchdown, 14-13. But once again, you know, what can you say? Big Ben, 3rd and 12, hits Brown for a first down. Sets up Sweason for that 34-yard field goal, which obviously means he kicked it from the 24. So they drove Ben drove him down to the Philly 16. I mean, what can you say about Roethlisberger? He's a winner. 21 for 37, 207, no TDs but no picks. Mendenhall back, 14 rushes for 81 yards. Redmond 13 for 41. Brown 7 receptions for 86 yards. Miller 4 for 41. He spread it around. You know, they really the Eagles really didn't generate much offense. And frankly, to me, when you get into a scrum game, a defensive game, the Steelers are going to win. Steelers 16, Eagles 14. Eagles drop to 3-2. Steelers now 2-2. But the Steelers get a much-needed win. And again, it's the Michael Vick problems. You know, it wasn't picks this week, but it was fumbles. And the Eagles have turned the ball over a lot this year. I think he had none when they beat the Giants, and that was the high point so far of the season for the Eagles. But yesterday, especially going in, you got to get at least three, if not seven there, probably a different game if Vic doesn't fumble early in the game. Steelers 16, Philly 14. Another interesting and emotional game. New Orleans 0-4, essentially out of the playoff race. San Diego going down to New Orleans. As you probably have heard for the last few weeks, Drew Brees about to break Johnny Unitas' record set in 1960 of throwing touchdown passes in 47 games in a row. Again, I haven't heard anyone talk about this. Maybe this is an article. To throw a touchdown pass in 47 games in a row when Johnny Unitas did it is infinitely harder. Infinitely harder than to do it when Drew Brees is doing it. Don't take anything away from Brees, but understand the greatness of Unitas. Brees breaks the record early with a 40-yard touchdown pass to Devery Henderson. Now 48 in a row. The emotion part of it, in addition to breaking the record, was Sean Payton, his coach, who suspended for the year, was allowed to be there and was there. San Diego jumped out to a 17-14 lead when Ryan Matthews scored. Robert Meacham, the former Saint, two TDs for San Diego. When Matthews scores, it's 24-14. And then it looked like the game would be over as San Diego intercepts Brees, runs it all the way back for a touchdown, but Brees was roughed on the play, roughing the passer. So that play is called back. So instead of it being 31-14, it's 24-14. And then when Brees hits Colston, it's 24-21. And then New Orleans scores 10 more points. New Orleans 31, San Diego 24. New Orleans gets their first win of the year. Drew Brees does break Johnny Unitas' record. He's now thrown for 48 for at least one touchdown in 48 games in a row. Again, don't get me wrong, an incredible record. But much easier than when Johnny U did it. Understand the way the game has changed, the rules have changed. You can't touch these receivers anymore. You can't touch the quarterback anymore. And, you know, I think it's Tom Brady's right behind him. He's done it 37 to 38 games in a row, and I'm not knocking either of those guys. They're both Hall of Fame quarterbacks. But again, Unitas is a guy who essentially turned the NFL into or showed the potential for a passing league. He invented the two-minute drill. He was unbelievable. He was treated shoddily by the NFL after he retired. Those old-time players, even still fighting for respect, concussion lawsuits, etc., they're the ones who turned the NFL into the NFL. And Unitas might have been number one, you know, quarterback for the Colts in the greatest game ever played, all that stuff. Back-to-back titles in 58 and 59, beating the Giants for that championship in the first overtime playoff game ever. I mean, you can't say enough about this guy. But records are made to be broken. His son was actually there, sent the letter to Breeze. You know, my father would have congratulated you. That's all classy and stuff. But I'll say it again. Breeze would have to throw 90, 94. You'd have to, like, double what Unitas did for it to be the same. Bottom line, and most important, I'm sure, to Drew Brees, New Orleans gets the win. They get off the schneid. They're 1-4. New Orleans, 31. San Diego, 24. Bunch of other games to get to. Ravens, defensive struggle with Kansas City. Kansas City, an impossible place to play. The Ravens beat the Chiefs in Kansas City. Baltimore, 9. Kansas City, 6. Joe Flacco, 13 for 27 for 187. Castle got hurt. Matt Castle, 9 for 15 for 92, and they booed him when he got hurt, if you can imagine. Now, Castle had fumbled earlier in the game at the one-yard line, similar to the Vic plays. You know, they're about to score. Baltimore recovers. But he gets knocked out with a concussion. Kansas City leads the league in turnovers, and as he's lying on the ground, I'm sorry, the Kansas City crowd was cheering, not booing, the fact that their own quarterback had been hurt. And there was a lot of emotion after the game about that. Really ridiculous, of course. I mean, it's just absurd. But this is the era we're living in. You boo your own quarterback because he's playing well, even though he's down on the ground with a possible concussion that turned out to be a concussion. Again, just disgraceful behavior. You know, they're taking a pounding today, and they should. Some people are saying, oh, fans can do whatever they want. They pay for their ticket. And, you know, I guess technically that's true, but that's absurd. You know, it's Bush League. But the Chiefs are having their problems now. I don't really know where they're going. You know, they're 1-4. I thought Romeo turned them around last year, Romeo Crennel, but now they're back and they have some problems. Castle, of course, was Brady's backup. The question was, could he be a top quarterback on his own? He's been an average to slightly above average quarterback. But the Chiefs looking at another lost season at 1-4. Ravens moved to 4-1. Bunch of other games to get to quickly. The Bears, you know, the Bears were my pick on Friday, -5.5. I give you one game against the spread. It's 3-3 at halftime. And then the Bears explode for 38 unanswered points, including Charles Tillman and Lance Briggs returning interceptions for touchdowns. The Bears' defense has scored 5 touchdowns in the last 3 games. Think about that. So they turn a 3-3 game into a 41-3 rout. Cutler 23 for 39 for 292 yards and 2 TDs. Gabbard not so good, 17 for 33 for 142 yards. Not a game in the second half. Bears 41, Jaguars 3. Bears 4-1. Jaguars dropped to 1-4. Dolphins showing some grit on the road against the Bengals. Dolphins 17, Bengals 13. Tannehill, pretty good game, 17 for 26 for 223. Dalton 26 for 43 for 234 and a touchdown. Surprised I picked the Bengals to make the playoffs. They dropped to 3-2. Dolphins moved to 2-3. Dolphins 17, Bengals 13. The Giants hammer the Browns. Browns jump off to a 14-0 lead. You know, I know the Browns are 0-5. I thought they have some ability. They jump out to a 14-0 lead, but by halftime it's already 27-17 Giants. Victor Cruz, 3 touchdown catches. Manning, 25 for 37, 259, 3 TDs. Whedon, who's become okay, 22 for 35, 291, 2 TDs, but he threw a pick in the end zone. If you saw the play late, Giants up 14, Browns driving, Whedon throws the ball, it's batted up in the air back to Whedon, and then he throws it again into the end zone for a touchdown. I understand he's a rookie, but he's 28 years old, and the quarterback has to know he can't throw two forward passes on one play. So he throws it, it gets batted back to him, he has to run with the ball. Or hand it off to somebody, or lateral if he could have. I don't think he could have. But you can't throw it again. Next play in the end zone, interception. And again, not that the Browns were going to come back once the Giants started rolling, they're rolling. Giants 41, the now 0-5 Browns 27. A bunch of other games to get to quickly. Seahawks on the road at Carolina, come across the country and beat the Panthers. Seahawks 16, Panthers 12. Wilson outplays Cam Newton. You know, I don't know what's wrong with Cam Newton. 12 for 29, 141 yards. I don't think he quite gets it. You know, you can't do the Superman thing when you're losing games left and right. Seahawks move to 3-2. They come across the country to play New England next week. Good luck with that. Panthers 1-4. Their season slipping away. Remember, the Panthers won 6 games last year, and everybody was like, oh, yeah, that can be a playoff team this year. But Newton has not progressed. Maybe he's reading his clippings. You know, they have that now what seems like a stupid ESPN commercial where he has all these trophies on his desk. You know, he gets a joke one, the tell the best joke by the water cooler, you know, but you got to hope somebody can talk to this guy because he's going the wrong way. Seahawks 16, Panthers 12. A few other games to get to. The surprising Vikings bury the Titans, shut them out for 3 quarters. Vikings 30, Titans 7. Vikings now 4-1. Hasselbeck playing for Tennessee, 26 for 43, 200 and a TD. Ponder 25 for 35, 258 and 2 TDs. Percy Harvin, boy, has he been good this year. 8 receptions for 108 yards and a touchdown. Vikings, the surprising Vikings, 30. The Titans, 7. And finally, the 49ers. I mean, this just isn't a fair fight. You know, Buffalo, despite getting those two ends, you know, Mario Williams has not been great. 49ers just all over the Bills, 17-3 at the half, 45-3 final. You know, Alex Smith, 18 for 24 for 303 and 3 TDs. I mean, that's just unbelievable. You know, the 49ers become the first team in the history of pro football, think about that, to pass for 300 yards and rush for 300 yards. 621 total yards, the most ever by a 49er team. Frank Gore has a touchdown at 106 yards. Colin Kaepernick, who is already a better Wildcat quarterback than Tim Tebow or anything the Jets could do. I thought 49ers mocked the Jets last week when they ran Kaepernick into the end zone. But yesterday he had another 16-yard touchdown run out of the Wildcat. Crabtree, 6 receptions for 113 yards and a TD. Gore, as I said, 106 yards and a TD. I mean, it's just unbelievable. 49ers, 45. Bills, 3. Presumably, Harbaugh keeps them in the middle part of the country because they're at the Meadowlands to play the Giants next week. And, you know, that's an interesting game, obviously, a replay of last year, playoffs. I think the 49ers are a better team than the Giants, but the Giants seem to find a way. But yesterday, 49ers, 45, Bills, 3. And again, give Harbaugh credit. You know, I picked the 49ers to win the Super Bowl this year. I don't like the way he conducts himself, but that's irrelevant. We're going to get to the TV for today in a minute, but one other thing, NASCAR, if you follow NASCAR, they're in that chase now at Talladega yesterday. Everybody hates to drive at Talladega. Apparently, it's the most dangerous track. And yesterday in the final lap, there was a 25-car wreck. Tony Stewart, to his credit, admitted it was 100% his fault. I don't know how that made the other 24 guys who were wrecked feel. Matt Kenseth gets the win. Jeff Gordon second. Dale Earnhardt after the race. Dale Earnhardt Jr. said, "It's not safe here. If I had to drive on a track like this every week, I'd find another job." I mean, it was looked very dangerous. Apparently nobody was seriously hurt. Tony Stewart took the brunt of it and was fine afterwards. Brad Keselowski still in the lead. Jimmy Johnson second. Denny Hamlin third on the overall Chase. But yesterday, Matt Kenseth gets the win. He was in front of the 25-car wreck. And, you know, maybe they're going to have to review how they race down there or whether they should race down there. Because if you see that pile up, I'm not a big NASCAR guy, but if you see that pile up, it's the scariest thing. The notion that nobody got seriously hurt was really unbelievable. You literally had cars strewn all over the track. It was a very, very scary thing. In any event, TV tonight or late this afternoon, the National League playoff game, 4:37 p.m. Eastern on TBS, ESPN Radio. Nationals at the Cardinals for Game 2. Again, the Cardinals are the underdog. They get the first two games at home, but the Nationals have already beat them once. So that's a problem. Again, I think the lower seed has to win both at home to have a chance. If they split, it's going to be very hard, if not impossible, for them to take two of three on the road against a team that's seeded higher. Now, the Yankees-Orioles are a little closer. But the Yankees are the Yankees. They beat the Orioles 7-2 in Game 1. They are the higher seed. They get the last three games at home. Tonight, Game 2, Yankees at Orioles. Down in Baltimore, 8:07 Eastern. Same deal, TBS, ESPN Radio. As last night, when they had the two-and-a-half-hour rain delay, if the Nationals-Cardinals games goes long, they start that Yankee-Oriole game on TNT. Presumably you get both now. You know, in 2012. So Nationals at Cardinals, 4:37 Eastern. Yankees at Orioles, 8:07 Eastern, both on TBS. There is a football game tonight, if you can call it that. You know, the Jets are being laughed at in New York now. They have lost Revis, their best offensive player, defensive player. They have lost Antonio Holmes, arguably their best offensive player, certainly their best receiver. Those guys are gone for the season. So the Texans at the Meadowlands, at least the Jets are home, but few give them any hope, nor do I. Texans at Jets, 8:30 Eastern at the Meadowlands, and of course that is the national game on ESPN, 8:30 Eastern. One other note quickly, the WNBA, the Minnesota Lynx have made it to the WNBA Finals. Beating the Sparks last night. Connecticut plays at Indiana tonight, 8 o'clock. That's at ESPN2. That's the WNBA Final Four. The Lynx will play the Minnesota Lynx will play the winner of Connecticut and Indiana for the WNBA Championship. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.